This is Isaac Benjamin bringing you another episode of Scrubs in the Trenches. I'm a registered nurse with over 15 years of experience in places like the ICU, emergency department, recovery room, and cardiac cath lab, just to name a few. I've seen some amazing things during my time in the hospital trenches, but I'm ready to transition out of those trenches and help you from ending up there yourself. So join me as I share my insights and experiences to provide you a holistic perspective that you won't find anywhere else. And remember, I'm not giving any direct medical or coaching advice. I'm just trying to enrich your life. So today, I want to share how I came to some of the insights that have guided me on how I treat my Lyme. I neither endorse nor claim how to properly pronounce any of these treatment options, but do want to provide some information on what has helped me. On the last episode, I shared a little bit of my personal journey with Lyme, and even as a healthcare professional, I was left feeling lost and confused, trying to find healing for myself. It was like trying to find my way out of a jungle, but without knowing which map to use. I started by using only the CDC's map to begin with, but quickly realized that with this map, the jungle was only getting thicker. This led me to start looking for maps that actually seemed to match the terrain I was walking, instead of just trusting the government organization known as the CDC. And at that time, when I was looking at this research, the CDC claimed that the Lyme bacteria is pretty much always eradicated after one round of antibiotics, which is usually doxycycline. So it didn't take me very long to realize that I was dealing with a chronic infection. Like, I could feel it crawling under my skin every time I stopped antibiotics, and I would get all of the symptoms that would make me feel bad enough to seek medical help in the first place, only to be sent down paths that focused on symptom management instead of attacking the root cause, an infection. And I'll take a moment to pause here to explain how I decided to trust myself and started adopting a more holistic approach to my own health. Because as a baby nurse, most of the problems I dealt with within the hospital fit within the Western medical model. And as far as I could tell, we knew how to fix it. But I didn't realize at the time how much of what I was doing was just symptom management. I mean, someone would come in with congestive heart failure, and we would give them Lasix. If they had COPD, we'd give them steroids and breathing treatments, not really realizing that I was just only treating the surface of the problems. Like, of course, we would get them fixed, and they would go back home, but we were not promoting true healing. And it wasn't until I was faced with my own health crisis that I started to really ask myself, what are we doing here? So after I first got Lyme, I kept going back to my primary care physician, and he gave me about 3 rounds of antibiotics. Like like I said in the last episode, he did the best he could, but he pretty much after the 3rd round of antibiotics, he kind of threw up his hands and he's like, I'd love to help you, Isaac, but I just don't know what else to do. And then, at first he tried to get me to an infectious disease doctor, but I never even made it inside the door, and that was okay. And, in the last episode, this is the doctor that said, he'd give me IV antibiotics after my heart basically went into 3rd-degree heart block and I needed a pacemaker. I started having seizures. And then he also told me that deer ticks don't exist in Georgia, which was really weird to me since I picked them off my own leg. I mean, I'm sure that he had some big fancy doctor book that told him that deer ticks only live in the Northeast, but I'm a Georgia boy, been walking through these woods my whole life, and I know better. Like, I just know reality, and the reality is there are deer ticks in Georgia. I've picked them off my own leg. Just a fact. And so after I, you know, couldn't get in with a traditional infectious disease doctor, I found the doctors that, you know, they had their own medical kind of group that didn't use insurance, but if you paid out of pocket, you could get IV antibiotics. And a lot of people were using them at the time. And so I gladly paid the out-of-pocket price for IV antibiotics, and they worked great at first. But as I'll expand more in the next episode that kind of tells you my understanding of the Lyme bacteria itself, IV antibiotics are really big guns, and the spirochete form, or just the Borrelia burgdorferia, and like I said, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but what's considered the Lyme bacteria is very crafty. And there's some research out there that suggests that once you hit the spirochete form with IV antibiotics, it will actually convert into a cis form and basically, you know, get into a tight ball and create like an outer shell that the antibiotics can't penetrate. So while it's in the cis form, it doesn't necessarily make you feel bad, but it just kind of goes into hiding. And, you know, you could just keep throwing antibiotics at it over and over, but it's going to stay in that cis form. So you start antibiotics and the spirochete form of the bacteria looks around and is basically like, hey, yo, it's getting toxic around here, man. We gotta curl up in a ball and become impenetrable, yo. Like, until it gets some sunnier weather, B. And this theory makes complete sense to me, because every time I stopped antibiotics, I would always get to the point of infection where I would end up in night sweats. So I had to keep looking for a solution. And I kept looking until I came across the Doug Coyle Rife machine. And I have released a brief presentation video, so you can check that out to visually see what I'm talking about. But basically, you have a frequency generator, a guitar amplifier, the actual Doug Coyle machine, which is actually hooked up to a coil of copper wire, and then you just set the frequency to different levels, because you can research Royal Rife. This is back in the 50s, and he was able to destroy, theoretically, cancer and other cells with sound waves. And it came out about the same time as antibiotics. So, of course, there were political agendas that basically defamed him. But the technology did stay around. And in the 80s, there was a guy named Doug that tried to recreate this technology who had Lyme and ended up having, you know, success with it. And it's kind of weird because at first, the theory is you put this frequency at a level that the Lyme bacteria does not like, but the rest of your cells in your body, it doesn't seem to bother them. So you blast it with that and it kills off the bacteria. And you actually feel worse because it kills off such a large amount of these bacteria so quickly that it can't go into that cyst form. And you're basically sick from the toxins of these dead bacteria. But after about a day, you're actually feeling better. And that's commonly known as a Herx reaction. And I'll go into more detail of the Herx reaction on the next episode. But basically, it's just another way to attack the Lyme bacteria and kind of get it off guard because it is so crafty. And it did take me a little while to trust in myself and believe in myself, because it was about a $2,000 piece of equipment at the time. But I finally got so desperate and felt so bad every time I got off of antibiotics, I was like, I have to do something. I have to figure out a way to feel better.
And speaking of feeling better, what better time to let you know about the FAD and Physoderna's latest creation? They have finally combined powers to create the perfect place called the Shots, Drugs, and Liquistow. It's the perfect place to both pick up your prescriptions, your Fun Dip, get your oatmeal cream pies, get some cigarettes, buy some liquor, and you know what? You can also get your latest RSV, flu, pneumonia, and COVID shots. We also have a large selection of shelf-stable bread just to soak it all up. Because what better way to stay healthy than to take your shots?
And welcome back. I'm going to close this episode by just giving a few herbal antibiotics and just regimens that I use to kind of help with my Lyme disease. I've used Japanese knotweed, Chinese skullcap, reishi, I believe. It's a type of mushroom. And there's other herbal antibiotics out there as well, but those are the ones I've kind of focused on and take a just supplement that has all of those in it. I also use, you know, a multivitamin, things like that. Just try to keep my nutrition at an optimal level to help just support my body as it's constantly trying to fight off a chronic infection. And then I also use mushroom coffee. I've used CBD for inflammation. And there's just a bunch of other herbal components that can help support your body if you're dealing with a chronic infection. And I need to do better about it, but anaerobic exercise. So not aerobic like running, but actually weightlifting and doing things that don't use oxygen, or basically your muscles don't have time to regenerate the oxygen. So it's called anaerobic workout without oxygen. So that has been shown to help people get over Lyme disease, but you have to also properly rest after you do these exercise regimens, or you might end up making yourself feel worse in the long run. So exercise is a fine line, but it's one of those things, just keep trying to do a little bit more every day. And there's lots of studies that show anaerobic exercise, such as weightlifting, can help with Lyme disease. And then also, the last thing I want to touch on is just a proper diet. I've used to eat whatever I want. I'm a tall guy, so I didn't really have to watch my weight, because if I gained 10 pounds, nobody really noticed except me. But the longer I've had Lyme, the more I can notice that there's triggers. Like, I can eat Domino's pizza with my kids one night and wake up the next morning and feel like I drank a 12-pack. Like, I feel literally hungover. And so, not necessarily by choice, but by necessity, I've slowly become more whole food, plant-based, and I still eat meat. But I try to make sure my sources of meat, I do really enjoy deer meat and try to incorporate that as much into my diet as possible. But really just fruits and vegetables and foods that decrease inflammation instead of the processed foods like bread that's just on, you know, just shelf stable bread and things like that. I try to stay away from that as much as possible. And I don't, you know, I'm not strict with anything diet wise. I feel like you gotta sometimes eat a donut, or just, you know, you can't live strictly all the time or you'll fail. But 9 out of 10 times I try to eat, you know, proper foods and vegetables, mainly because it just makes me feel so bad. Like I said, I can eat a piece of cheesecake, eat some greasy Domino's pizza, and essentially have a hangover the next morning. So it's just one of those things, just for self-preservation. I have cleaned up my diet a lot. And like I said, try to focus on foods that decrease inflammation and stay away from the highly processed foods that increase inflammation inside your body. And that's going to be it for this episode. And join me next time as I go more into detail about the actual spirochete, Borrelia burgdorferi. And I will work on trying to figure out how to properly pronounce it, but essentially the bacteria that causes Lyme, and actually go into a variety that Dr. Bill Rawls is kind of who I'm borrowing from, but he talks about stealth microbes and how things like Lyme disease, mycoplasma pneumonia, and other infections can lay in the tissues and in the joints, not necessarily dormant, but undetectable by the normal blood work that, you know, the modern medical system uses. So it can almost kind of hide out in people's bodies, and then the tools that we use just aren't equipped for finding that people have these illnesses. And he actually throws fibromyalgia along in with Lyme disease, and his philosophy is that things like fibromyalgia are just caused by stealth microbes that live in the joints and these other tissues, not really hanging out in the bloodstream, but can wreak havoc on your body and cause you to have symptoms that are not easily detectable by normal blood work. So thanks again for joining me, and I'll see you next time.